Hey guys, this is John
and Jason,
and this is Two Farts
in a Can.
Are we going to ever tell them what that means?
Yeah, tonight.
Let's do it right now.
Okay. No.
Okay, I knew you were going to do that. Hey everybody, this is Two Farts in a Can, and tonight's episode is called Into the Woods. Now, I'm not talking about the musical on Broadway. I'm talking about our special guest that's going to be with us as we talk about a house he used to have that was in the woods. And we'll talk about that right after this. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Two Farts in a Can. Today's episode is Into the Woods. Like I teased a while ago, we're going into the woods, and I'm not talking about the musical on Broadway. I got some special guests with me today. Of course, we know I'm John. I'm your host, John Moore, and you know Jason. What's up, my friend?
Hi, baby!
Oh, would you wait a second? You're always breaking up.
I can't hear you.
We can't hear you, Jay. Can't hear you at all. There you go. No. For those that don't know, Jason is in his 80s and he can't work a computer.
Hear me now?
Yes. Say it again.
All right. Well, I was just telling about the time that John wanted to take pictures of me naked and I wouldn't let him, but we'll get to that later. Go ahead.
Okay.
Just go with it.
Okay, so you see Jason, you see me, your normal host, but we've got one more with us tonight. This one's a special one. It goes back a long way, guys. This is over 30 years. My God, think about how far this is. Class of 83. That means when we were freshmen, he was a senior. Mr. Brian Etheridge. Brian, what is going on, buddy?
How's it going, guys? Good to see you.
Do what?
I really enjoyed what you've done so far.
Have you? Oh, good. Thank you so much. Jay, what are you trying to say? You keep trying to jump in.
Yeah, I have nothing. I was just trying to give Brian a hard time. I'm so happy that he's here. I've been waiting to humiliate this motherfucker on the air for a long, long time. And late tonight is here. So buckle up, boys and girls. Send the kids to bed. Pour yourself a beer, an inverted bong hit, and let's move on with our lives.
Okay, so it's really funny. When I reached out to Brian yesterday or the day before, I think I reached out and I said, hey, we want to do this Into the Woods. Talk about that. He has texted me. What are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about? He's got what, Jay?
Oh, he's called me 11 times today. He's like, I'm like, I'm eating eggs just like I was 8 minutes ago when you go.
Well, let me set this up. So, this really stems from, let me get my stuff here. You know what? Before I do that, let me set it up. Okay. So we used to work at Cheddar's. Y'all remember Cheddar's. Cheddar's, it was the second Cheddar's ever built. It's the one over there on Hampton Road in DeSoto. The first one was at Six Flags over Texas. There it is. Brian's got it up. I think Jay and I started there before Brian. I remember, Brian, you came in just a little bit after us. And, we've got a whole Cheddar episode we could do with all the people that worked at Cheddar's. But one night, we decided to go over. Brian invited us over. And I want to hear that story. We're going to talk about the first time he ever had some Cheddar heads over. But over in the woods, what was the address, Brian?
It was on Bayberry, 8-something Bayberry. And it's actually Dallas, but it's just on the edge of Duncanville. And me and three of my buddies –
yeah, we're going to get in that. I want to talk all about that in just a second. I want to talk all about that. Don't give that away. But that's where we went. And all of a sudden, when we got there and realized, okay, wait a minute. Brian lives here with three dudes. We had a great time. It ended up being the Happy House. The Cowboys had the White House. We had the Happy House.
What was funny about it is when you first walked in, he goes, are you guys parents here?
Yes.
Keep it. This place ourselves.
Yeah, people my age didn't have a house that they were living in. They were usually either in an apartment or they were sneaking out at night. You know how that goes. Brad, tell us what you're doing now. I mean, what you, I see pictures of you on Facebook. Tell us what you're doing now. Everything that's gone on, the kids, number of kids you got. Tell us what's up.
I got two kids of my own, Rachel and Taylor. My first kid just turned 18 today, as a matter of fact, and Taylor's 16. We've got two stepkids. And Dane, and that's my beautiful wife's kids. And we've been living in Wiley for about 20 years. And I've been in the pool business for like 25 years. So, you know, in one capacity or another, even own my own business. So,
do you own your own business now, or are you just?
No, I sold my business after being on my own for about 15 years. And I've been working for Leslie's for 3 years now.
Now, what do you do for them?
I'm what they call a star. I have about 110 stores, and I have like three or four regional managers and six district managers that help me draw the pool business to all the stores. And we offer wholesale pricing. It's really a good deal. So, you know, I work from home, and my boss is in Phoenix, so it's pretty squeezy easy.
Wow. The wife and I are actually halfway discussing getting a pool, so I'll have to do what?
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
It's a giant hole.
It's gonna kill me, though.
It's a big hole in the ground you throw a bunch of money into. That's about it.
Hey, that's what I hear. And so, but you know what? We haven't made our final decision on that yet, but we definitely – hey, Jay, tell us how everybody can find us.
Well, you can find us pretty much all over anywhere you want to look. So you can go to twofartsinacan.com. You can get us on Twitter at twofartsinacan. You can get us on our group page, Two Farts in a Can. You can get us on our business page, Two Farts in a Can. Pretty much just Google Two Farts in a Can. And anything that pops up with a picture of a fart or a little bit of John in it, just click on that shit and then just figure out what happens beyond there.
What the hell? Why do I have to get thrown under the bus on this thing?
Well, it's a short bus.
Jesus. Okay, so tell me about feedback. Anything that I've been on hiatus for a week, but any feedback, anything?
Weird, because I know you and I are, because we're egomaniacs, and, you know, we love the attention, and that's really why we did this, in case you guys haven't figured this out yet. You know, it's almost every girlfriend I've ever had at some point in our relationship said, oh, somebody's not getting enough attention. we needed attention. So we were kind of doing it for us, and it was a lot of fun. We were having a good time. But holy shit, when we took a hiatus for 7 to 10 to, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks, I just got blown up with people. And I'm talking about probably 10 or 15 people that were like, when are you guys doing this again? Like, I just thought it was kind of this goofy Duncanville thing that we did, and nobody really gave that much reckoning to it, except that it was fun to listen to. And I kind of figured once life went back to normal, people would just kind of fall off it. But I was wrong. You know, between Patty, Kitty, and the girls, the Steel Magnolias, and those ladies, which we're going to have them on the show. Jill told me that night, we just need to have them on the show, and I think we need to. But yeah, it's been really cool, because people are like, where did you go? I'm like, well, we're right here. Things happened. And they were like, all right, man, well, y'all need to hurry up, because we're kind of waiting. And I think, John, actually, you ran into some people at a funeral here a while back, and they were asking you what was going on.
Yeah, so a lot of the 1987 class know Bruce Newman passed away. And, we want to extend out, obviously, some prayers and thoughts to Michael Newman, who we know what was a year older than us. They had a younger brother, Brandon. Brandon was, I think, my sister's age, so, you know, far down below us. But Bruce, golly, man, Michael Newman, who's going to come on, is the head of Zig Ziglar now. He's like the CEO of Zig Ziglar. He's a motivational speaker, and he did the eulogy. Very touching. I mean, it was unbelievable what he did. And he held his composure. I mean, he'd lost it a little bit, as anyone would with your little brother that passes away. Bruce got a cancer, a very rare one. And the way Michael said it was basically, he hit the lottery in reverse. It was like one in a million if you get it, and got it in December of right before Christmas and passed away here. I mean, 6 months, he was gone. And so a lot of people there, and a lot of people came up and said, man, you know, they saw your World According to Me and just assumed that we were like a rock band that split up, went our separate way.
Album.
It's your solo album. And they were like, are y'all still doing it? I said, yeah, we're doing it. They said, well, we saw Jason. We thought, you know, you guys going to have a, you know, behind the scene documentary about what happened, the big split that happened when we threw microphones at each other. I don't know what the heck they were doing. I was like, no.
We have to shoot that now.
Like, okay. Okay. quit trying to talk over me because they can't hear you. Okay. Okay, so, but anyway, so Jay, tell us about that, World According to Me, and what we've got going on those before we get into our Brian. We're going to set the whole thing up and do the whole thing with Brian.
Sure, so thanks, John. And as you guys know, I'm not a big fan of John, so I've been doing everything I could to get the fuck away from him as fast as possible. John and I have been best friends since, you know, we were, a wet spot on our daddy's pants, and, you know, and everything we do, we do together. We just have different philosophies as we grew up, and my politics tend to lean pretty far right and very exaggerated, and John's are typically more in the middle. Those of you who know me and have followed me or played along with me on Facebook over the years know that I tend to be very opinionated and aggressive, and some of you said you liked it. And so I just started a little podcast and started talking about it. It's been fantastic. All of you guys jumped on, and thank you so much for it, but it's been really fun. We're averaging, the one I did on the 4th of July, those of you that saw it, thank you so much. It broke 1,000 views in less than 48 hours. So it's super cool. And I'm kind of in a competition with John because John's got his baseball thing going on. And he's way out there ahead of me. I'm never going to catch him. But, you know, it gives me something to shoot for every day. So thank you for those of you that are watching and listening and passing along. And thanks, John, for giving me a couple minutes to push it.
No problem. The baseball thing. It's going great. We're actually trying to kick back in. Now the Rangers are going to do it. I'm going out to the ball field tomorrow. I've got credentials to go out tomorrow and watch what they're trying to do, get ready to go. I'm doing a thing Sunday night. I'm going to be doing a live Zoom Q&A with three former Texas Rangers, Jeff Fry, Darren Oliver, and David Hulse. We were going to have Rusty Greer. Was talking to Rusty today, and he just couldn't pull it off. He's like, I can't do that. So Rusty's going to come on. If any of you remember Rusty Greer, he's the Hall of Famer. I could text him real quick. No, he doesn't. I'm very cautious now that I have these phone numbers. I'm like, I ought to call him a different name on my phone in case someone got on there and did it. But he's going to try to come on and do the podcast. I want to do one with him, talk about his life growing up and do that. Just a great guy. He goes by Rojo. But that's coming up this Sunday at 7 o'clock. We're going to have those guys on. It's going to be a Q&A. If you get with me and get me your email, you'll be in the Zoom, and you'll only see the four of us, but I'll be able to bring you in. You can raise your hand and ask a question. I'll bring you in to ask a question, and you can ask three former major leaguers something about baseball. Obviously, you can ask me if you want, but I don't quite have the experiences they do in the major league. So I'm just going to say that they're probably going to be a lot more informative than I am. I'm just a nerd, like you said, the recliner nerd. But that's not why we're – yes.
You're in the wrong ballpark, by the way.
I've got to take a picture of the new one, and I'll be in there tomorrow. So I'll have that to put in the background. I'm still old school.
Behind you. It looks looks a little like Fenway. Is that Fenway behind?
That's the one right there. The one behind me is the one that I have melted at on 800 occasions. Brian, you and I used to go to the old stadium.
With aluminum seats.
Oh, my gosh. It would be hot there. You didn't go on a Sunday afternoon and sit on those in shorts.
$3 beers.
Oh, I used to tell people they will not believe this. We used to go to Ranger games, and I used to work for Coors Beer after we left Cheddar's and all of that. I worked for Coors Beer, and I lived in Arlington right by the ball game. I would head home. I'd have a $10 bill in my pocket. I would buy a ticket to the game, sit in the outfield, buy two beers, have $2 in my pocket when I left, and I would catch the last three innings at home on HSE. I did that four times a week.
With Norm Hinskis.
Oh, yeah. Norm Hitchkiss did it. I used to do it all the time. And so, but you can't do that anymore. $10 bill, $10 bill barely gets you a Coke.
Yep.
Every time I see those aluminum chairs, the only thing it makes me think about is, did somebody, when they built that stadium, go, we need somebody to make the chairs. You know who we need? Who built playgrounds for elementary schools? We need that freaking guy.
Yep.
He makes slides out of aluminum. We should make chairs out of that. They're super comfortable. Kids love them.
Well, you know what happened? Let's do a little history if you want to know. So it was a minor league ball field. They brought the Rangers to Dallas in 1972, and they said, you know what? You can't do this with 12,000 seats. You really need to at least have 30,000. And they went, well, okay. And they just built a high school football field stadium around the backside.
Yep, and put benches in it.
There.
Yep. There you go. Took about a week.
Problem solved.
Yep. Okay, so let's get into the woods. Now, I want to set this up. So, Jay, do you remember when we first started our job at Cheddar? So, this is the Cheddar's over there.
I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was shortly after we graduated high school. Me, you, and I think Steve Duck were waiting tables there at Cheddar's. That's kind of how things started. I think Steve got a job there before we did. And then when we talked about getting an apartment, he said, hey, why don't you guys apply over here? They're hiring people. And you and I, well, actually, I think before that, Karen Cleaver worked there before any of us.
Yep, she did.
I think she was a cocktail server over there. And that's, really how we kind of got connected.
Squirrel
was working there.
Yep, she sure was. She was 17, and her two people pulled it off, her and Cam Oliver. Both of them applied at 17, told them they were 18, and apparently Cheddar's had a very stringent hiring process that they didn't make a copy of their driver's license and look to see how they actually were, and they started waiting tables at 17 years old.
I know how that happened. Paul Easton was the general manager.
No, he came later. At the time, it was I forget the guy's name at the beginning.
It was Steve. What was his name? I don't know what their names popped into my head today while I was thinking through things. I can't remember it. I'll come up with it in a few minutes.
So we started working there, and so let me tell you, before Brian and the Happy House came into it. Actually, Brian might remember some. We used to hang out in the parking lot. There was nothing over there. I mean, there was just Cheddar's. None of those car dealerships were there. So we would get off work, and whoever was old enough would go buy beer, and we'd all pitch in. We would sit in that parking lot. Brian, do you remember we did that when you first started?
There was a Gulf station there, as a matter of fact, in the corner.
Yeah, there was a Gulf station. But do you remember the parking lot, right?
Oh, yeah. Because I had to go buy the beer.
Yeah, you were old enough.
If we're old enough.
Well, all of a sudden, that was the place. And we would hang there till 3 or 4 in the morning. How we didn't get the police, I don't know. But we would hang out there till 3 or 4 in the morning. Until Brian, one day, just happened to say, hey, y'all want to come over to my house and let's have a beer? You know what, Brian? First of all, tell us about the house. Tell us the whole story, the roommates. Tell us how you got into that.
Well, I was with my best friends in the world, Dave and John and Mark. And Mark, I think, and Dave went to go look for a house for us because we wanted to live all together. And Dave went to look at the house and looked in the windows and was seeing that it was huge. It was a huge house. And we're going, and he was like, this is it. And we walked into the house. And we fall in love with it. It was like $800 a month for that. So we all got all together and we split it $200 a month. We go, okay, yeah. Then we brought another roommate in, Matt Ryan. And so it made it even more cheap. And he had all the equipment because his dad used to work for KDIL. So he had a bunch of equipment and we played music and just had a blast with it. And it wasn't exactly across the street from Cheddar's. It was across town. So.
Yep.
We had to make an effort to get to the Happy House from Cheddar's. Sometimes it was easy. Sometimes it was a little fuzzy, but we made it home.
In 1989.
Yeah.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
No Uber. If you went to the Happy House, you had to know where you were going, ride with somebody, or walk. Yeah,
I remember several times driving with one eye.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Now, Brian, do you remember at all? Did you hear all of that, by the way? Do you remember at all the first time that you invited anybody over to Cheddar's and it kind of became a party?
Absolutely, I remember it. Because you guys tripped up. I mean, we all got along real well at Cheddar's, and instantaneously. So, we became friends, really fast. And so we just butted up, and it was late at night. I think the bars were already closed. I said, come on over. And the bad part about it was that Mark and John worked day jobs. They had real jobs. I think Dave Cheddar's with us. So we would walk in at 3 a.m. and they'd say, why?
Yeah.
You have to get up working, a couple of hours. What are you doing? So we had a battle there, but we got through it.
Well, I remember Mark worked at the hospital.
He worked at Methodist.
And then was John the one that drove a truck?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was just about to ask. I think John was a truck driver, because I remember every once in a while some guy that happened to be in town or whatever, he would show up over there with them and they'd hang out and, sleep and have breakfast or whatever, and then, whatever they were doing. But yeah, I remember he was a truck driver.
But it just ended up being a refugee house. I mean, it was like we came over, and Jason and I were talking about today that there was one time that we had a real bad freeze and we were stuck over there for like, I don't know, 4 to 6 days.
Oh, yeah.
We just had to like make do. So we would have all kinds of fun and go out. We'd have to go out and brave the storm, get beer and food and stuff.
I'll tell you, that time over there, Brian and I talked a couple times a day, and we were talking about some of that during. We laughed ourselves stupid, just my stories. But then I spent even more time thinking about it after we got off the phone. We were stuck in that house for, like Brian said, 4 to 6 days. I don't remember how long it was. In my head, it was a month.
I was there.
Yeah. Oh, we were all there. Yeah. I left Cheddar's one night, and the storm was coming in, and we were like, whatever. And we wound up over at Brian's house there in the woods, and I settled in, and one day led into another. Like I said, in my head, it seemed like a month, but it was, probably 4 or 5 days.
Still for rent, by the way.
What's that?
Still be for rent, by the way.
Every morning we would get up, and somebody, I think, was designated to call into Cheddar's or call Paul to see if they were open. And if they were open, we had to come up with whatever excuse it was we couldn't come to work. So we had factored out how not to go to work for 5 or 6 straight days. But at one point we ran out of beer, and we figured out a fucking way to get to the beer store. Like, we had to go to Grand Prairie, and it was like, there was a plan. Like, there was no denying it. Oh, we're going. Somebody's not coming back unless you have beer. So we got to figure it out. We couldn't get to work, but we could damn sure get beer.
That's the Brian I remember right there. Look at that background. Here, let me tell you one of the funny stories I remember. Now, one of the first stories I remember about this, I'll never forget. It was one of our first times we ever went over there. And normally when we were over there, we would we would get the munchies from certain.
We smoked pot. We smoked a lot of pot.
Okay, you could say it. All right. And I
pot. A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Cheech and Chong are like, holy shit, how much pot are you guys going to smoke? That's how much pot we smoked. Brian didn't. I want to make sure everybody knows Brian didn't.
Yes, he never did. But here's what I remember. Here's what I'll never forget. So I think we ended up spending the night and whatever. So it was in the morning. I got up and I didn't drink coffee then, but I think the idea was I was going to get up and I had to go to the kitchen, which was probably one of my 80 trips I would take to the kitchen to see if food had grown in the refrigerator yet. But I walk around the corner into the kitchen, and there's a box fan sitting up on a table with a pair of jeans. A pair of pants on a hanger hanging, and they're and the air's got the legs of them going like that. And I'm like, what in the hell is going on here? And Brian goes, that's how we dry our pants. We don't have a dryer.
What's that?
Oh my God. And I was like, what in the, and I remember during our 4 or 5 day hiatus, one day I found myself standing next to the box fan with my pants. Sitting there drying, you know how it is. So anyway, that was hilarious.
These pictures, if you're following along on Facebook and you're seeing the pictures behind Brian, now I've known this guy for a long time. That's Brian at 11 years old. That's great. That's when he got his first guitar. That's actually an adult size guitar. He had a mustache and adult size arms on a little kid body. It was weird, but he made it. Look, there he is. He's 8 years old right there. Check that out.
To rent a house for 8 years old.
Now, who's the third person there?
That's Matt.
Okay, I don't remember Matt. I remember Dave, Mark, and John.
Yeah. Matt was the young one. I think he was as young as you guys, maybe even younger. But he's 5 years younger than me. So Matt's 50 now. He's probably watching right now. Hi, Matt.
Yeah, I think he is watching. Did Matt play bass?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, Matt's a hell of a musician.
You know, and I'll as long as we're talking about, you know, instruments, we're seeing it on the screen there. I'd like to talk to people about this thing I got going on with me, but not that kind of instrument. Hold on, it's a different story for another day. One of the coolest parts about hanging out that house, and hopefully John will support me on this, is that not a lot of people realize this, but Brian and Dave and Matt. And I hope I'm not leaving anybody out, but
Mark and John,
and the rest of the apostles. But those four guys were actually very talented musicians. When I say talented musicians, I don't mean like they played a little guitar and they sang a little bit. I mean, like if they got into what they were doing, it was moving. And we were probably super high or drunk at the time, but that's irrelevant.
I was about to say, how stoned were you?
Well, and that's, what I wanted to bring up is,
they were good.
We were playing around with that stuff back then, and it was extremely entertaining for us to watch. But Brian made a pseudo career out of that with Reber, and I followed along with that for a long time. Brian, tell us a little bit about that, because I think that's really where that kind of took birth.
Mark was the lead singer for Reber.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, they started up. I was in Colorado. I remember when you left me to Colorado. That's another story. But I went to Colorado to. Neil Blackjack at Paul Easton's
left you.
And that's probably another podcast altogether. But when I came back, I ran sound for Mark's band at the time, and their bass player was kind of a flake, and I'd played guitar, you know, for years, and never played bass. And they said, "Here, play this," and I learned it in a week. And before I knew it, I was playing bass for Reber & Company, and that was back in 1996, I believe. And we just retired from that, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago. And then eventually Matt came in, he was a lead singer for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And then Jerry Reber, which was the guitar player, decided to stick his hand in a meat grinder, and that was the end of that. So now he injured himself real bad, so he had to relearn how to play guitar, and but we had a hell of a ride with that. It's just a lot of fun to kind of live your dream, and we didn't make $1 million off of it or anything, but we sure had a lot of fun.
Well, and one thing that Brian always could do was you could always sing. Mark sang great. Mark had a great voice, but you were a good harmonizer. I mean, I remember the Seven Bridges Road. Me, you, and Dave would do the Seven Bridges Road from the. It was great. I remember going to see y'all. Me, Jimmy, and Rhonda Hare came and saw y'all down in Deep Ellum.
Cafe.
Do what?
The Classic City Rock Cafe.
Yes. Yeah, that's where it was. It was years ago, but we met down there. I just remember I hadn't seen Jimmy and Rhonda in a long time, and they had moved from DeSoto, I believe. But Rhonda had changed, let's say.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time talking to Rhonda like this.
are there with at the Texas gym.
Yep, I recognize you in back here. You're back over in the corner behind your left ear. I think that's David Lee Roth. Good Lord, man. Were you at the Texas Jam?
Oh, yeah. You remember that?
You went with me once, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if you can see it on there, but on the tickets, they were $12.50 a piece.
Which was a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I to tell you how much that was, minimum wage then was $3.80.
Yep.
How do you know?
Because I made minimum wage.
Well, at Cheddar's, we only made $2.01 because we had tips.
201 your tips. But a minimum wage job at that time was, I may be a little bit off. Maybe it was about $4. I know when I was a freshman in high school, it was $3.80. And I think by the time we graduated, it was about $4.25.
No, Jay, when we were in high school, it was $3.25 because I got hired at Long John Silver's and they gave me $3.50.
It was actually two chickens and a clam.
Yeah. They sweetened the pot. They said, "We know that you're looking at McDonald's and Burger King. We'll add another quarter. We'll make it $3.50." And so I became a Siemens apprentice.
Oh my God. Someone's there.
Siemens apprentice, John. Yeah. Does that mean you monitor the semen? What does that really mean?
I'm going to tell you now, it's one of the smelliest jobs I ever had.
And saltiest.
Oh. Dude. And I'll tell you what. Long John Silver's has a cult following. The same people came in that store every night. And you know how Long John Silver's today, they wear the little ball cap and the yellow shirt? Back then, we were swashbucklers.
No.
Yes, I remember.
I had to wear this bandana thing on my head, and I had this Where's Waldo striped shirt I had to wear.
Polyester.
Oh, it was horrible.
I worked at McDonald's, so I know it was bad.
You know, and I told Jay about this because I'd seen this, but I'll never forget, like, you know, you go to Long John Silver's and you would get your fish, and then people would want the extra crumbs, the crunchy thing. So when you cooked it, and I remember the first time it ever happened, and I said, "You want what?" And they said, "The extra crunchies." And I looked over at them and they hit something on the cash register, and I went, "You mean there's actually a thing to ring up for extra crunchies?"
How much for the shit you guys don't use? It's a nickel.
I just always imagine the day it went down when they have to program it in. One day a guy just came out of the back and swung open that metal thing and went, "Hey, you're going to have to start paying for them crunchies."
You're going to get gold mine on them.
Yeah, this is ridiculous now.
Some asshole in tech support was like, "Crunchies? Yes. C-R-U-N."
Spelled with a K, it charge more.
A lot of stone people love that stuff. I mean, we make a fortune. Oh, I would leave and go home at night, and you talk about smelling horrible. It was the worst smelling fish. I mean, you had to cut the cod, you had to dip it in the batter and do it. Oh, I mean, it was just – and I loved Long John Silver's, and then I couldn't eat the food anymore. took me a while to get back to a clam dinner.
Hey, now.
That was that short stint in the 80s where John
– Yes. You know what? Long John Silver's was the reason I played baseball my junior year, because I was not going to play baseball at Duncanville High School. I was working at Long John Silver's. Coach Rombach came to me and said, you need to come and play because I think you could be varsity, this or that. And I went to my dad and he goes, "Well, you can't work there anymore if you're going to play baseball." And I said, "You know, I'm going to play baseball." So I played baseball, and because, you know, if I wasn't going to play sports, I had to have a job. Okay, you know, all right, so let's get back. Tell me some more stories. I want to think about – so, Brian, we ended up – a lot of times we would end up having Christmas parties. What the heck?
All right, so Brian and I were talking about this earlier, Dan. I don't mean to derail you, John, but
no, go.
Was Brian and I were having this conversation earlier, and for those of you that didn't work at Cheddar's, that is a Romanco key.
Oh my gosh!
See this pen? That thing fit on the end of this pen, and it, you were a server there. Everybody had one of those. And they would come and take your order and write it down. And when they went to ring it in, they went to the point of sale system and they set that key down in there, and that accessed their name and table numbers and all that stuff. And then they would ring those things in. So Brian and I today were getting a giggle about the Romanco key. And I said, you know what'll be fun? I said, let's do a trivia contest tonight. And it'll pop up on Facebook. You watch, as soon as we start talking about it, they'll start sending in all this bullshit. I said, I know about two Romanco numbers for a product that we were selling back then, but John knows about 15.
No, I don't.
Go ahead. I'll pull them all off.
What was chicken fried steak? Was it 1250?
It was 831, John. I've been bragging about you all day long. 831. And if you 40. 40 was not. Oh my gosh. This is why I don't brag on you very often. You disappoint me every single time.
Well, you should know that by now. It's why we broke up.
That's how you did it. You had to put that thing in there, and then you had to, I mean, everything was a number. It'd take you 20 minutes to ring in a number, especially if you wanted modifiers. Because
oh my God.
240 was gravy, so you had to do my, and if you messed it up, you couldn't just fix that one. You had to delete the whole goddamn thing and start over again.
Oh, it was horrible.
Paul Easton is an asshole, by the way.
He didn't invent it. Yeah, it fix all our fuck ups.
Hey, I've got a Paul Easton. So Paul Easton, when he was taking that job, he had gotten hired, or he was about to get hired. He came in one night just to test it out and see. And he came in, he had a date, and I waited on him. He tells this story, he loves it, because I took care of him, did all of that, and he gave me a huge tip. And at the end, I got the tip, and I walked back to his table, and I go, did you realize you gave me
that? Sir, I think you made a mistake.
I was so floored by the tip. I was like, this has got to be a mistake. He's going to get in a minute. He meant to put down a five or something there or something. He goes, no, that's yours. Don't worry about it.
You know, I will never forget when, and Paul Easton was manager there, and there were a lot of people. Alan Rubin.
That was the first GM.
Yeah, I told you it would come to me.
I ran into him about 10 years after that. I was working for Coors Beer, and he was selling big deep freezers for restaurants.
He told me he was selling something. You ran into him.
Yep.
He was a cool dude, but it turned out he's a douchebag, but whatever. But Paul Easton, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was a moment there. You remember the giant TV in the bar, right? So it had that big drop-down screen. And
yes.
TV, right? And that's where we everybody watched football there. It was a big deal. Well, we came in one Sunday morning, and I hadn't worked that Saturday, but I was working that Sunday morning. So I came in. Nobody really thought anything. They just turned everything on. Well, whoever closed the night before had been watching porn on that 9-foot by 9-foot screen. So to open, I'm the opening server, and so we're opening the restaurant, whatever, and I forget the female manager's name that was there. I think her name was Kelly.
No, Morgan. Lisa Morgan.
It might have been Lisa Morgan. So she's back in
the back. It was Lisa Morgan.
I'm running around through the restaurant, just kind of doing my thing, and I hear all this chatter going on. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I go walking into the bar, and in 9-foot by 9-foot pornography on Sunday in Duncanville is showing on this screen. And I don't mean like soft hotel porn. I mean like tar and feather on this woman's ass. And it was brutal. And all and the bar's packed. You know what Sundays were like at Cheddar's? I mean, it was Bloody Mary's for days. There were at least 100 people in there. It was absolute insanity. It was the greatest moment in Cheddar's history I've ever seen.
I don't even have a comeback for that one.
It was unbelievable.
Was Metalark Lemon there that day?
He may have been. He may have been. But what I do know is that Monty was probably sitting at the end of the bar.
Oh, my God.
Do you want to tell that story or do you want me to?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, okay. Let me set it up. I bartended at Cheddar's at the end, if y'all remember. I was one of the only one. Did Brian, you didn't ever bartend, did you?
No, not there.
Not there, but
I bartended at Tia's.
At where? Oh, at Tia's. Okay. So I bartended at Cheddar's, and Monty was the DJ at the Texas Tux.
Yeah.
And Monty.
I worked there too.
But Monty would show up at about 3 o'clock every afternoon and have a Jack and Coke. And he would sit in his cowboy hat and boots at the corner, and he drank 10 of those before he would take off to the thing. Okay, so this is 1989, 1990, somewhere in there. Take it over, Jay.
So this, like John said, this is when Monty used to sit there at the corner of this thing. Now, there were a bunch of barflies there at Cheddar's, and we actually played a softball game one time, the Cheddarheads against the barflies, and we had a lot of fun with those guys. They were great guys. They were fun to hang out with. But Monty sat in that corner chair he never left.
Hey, we lost you. We lost you. Nope.
How about now?
Yes. What are you doing?
I don't know. Something's going on with my microphone. So anyway, Monty is always sitting in the corner of this damn bar. When you get there in the morning, Monty is there with a Jack and Coke in his hand. When you leave at night, Monty is there with a Jack and Coke in his hand.
And well, remember, the Tux would close, and they would come back over, and he would have more that night.
Yep. And then we would all wind up out in the parking lot with the used car salesman, and Monty was there. And the funny thing about Monty, and then I'll get back to the story, but the interesting thing about Monty is he was actually my manager when I worked at Burger King when I was a freshman in high school. Monty was the assistant manager at Burger King and then moved on to the Texas Tux or whatever. So this, like I said, John said, this was like 1989, 1990. It was late 80s, early 90s. Monty down there in his cowboy hat, always dressed exactly like he went to work that day. So
starched blue jeans.
Starched blue jeans, cowboy boots, starched long sleeve shirt. Could be 90,000 degrees outside. That's what Monty looked like every day. A great guy. I mean, we're not picking on him. He's a really nice guy. So I come back into town to visit, and it's like, I don't know what, John, 2002?
No. This was for your birthday, 45th birthday, and you're 52 now.
Right, seven years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, back up, do the math from there. But, this was a long time had spanned. So John picks me up at the airport, and we're going to stop at Cheddar's and grab a drink. And I said, you know what, let's pull into Cheddar's. It's my
No. Let me stop you. So what it was is Jason had his wife at the time threw him a surprise party, and I had to take Jason and keep him away from everybody until a certain time. And I said, hey, why don't we run down to Cheddar's and just grab a beer? I hadn't been to Cheddar's in 25 years. I was like, let's go down there and have a beer. And
yep. So, and he's right. And I'd forgotten about that. So John was in charge of keeping me distracted. So he said, you know, let's go to Cheddar's and stop in there. So as we're driving over, I just jokingly say to John, I will shit my pants if we walk in there and Monty Mahone is sitting in the same goddamn bar still drinking a Jack and Coke. And we were literally like, holy shit. Could you imagine if that's really what happened?
Oh, that would be hysterical, Jay. Yeah, that would be so funny.
Just so ridiculously over the top. I mean, this is 30 years later. We walk in, sit down at the bar, order a drink, and I look up, and Monty is looking at me, and he goes, hey, guys. We're like, hey, Monty. Same fucking shirt, same starch Levi's, boots, Stetson, Jack and Coke, like he had never left. The only thing that had changed was his hair was gray. The same goatee, I mean, everything. He's like, hey, guys, what's going on? I'm not, oh, my God, it's good to see you, nothing. It was like, what's up? Like, we had just left night.
what was so funny about that was we didn't notice him when we went in because he had the gray hair, and we didn't notice it. We went and sat at the bar. It was kind of busy, so that's another reason we didn't really notice him. We sit at the bar. We're looking like, you want to get a beer? Yeah, you get a beer. Let's get one of those. We were going to get the big ones, the scooter. We're going to get a scooter and all of that. And so we kind of look at each other talking. We look across like you do. You look across the bar. Monty goes, "Hey, guys, what's up?"
Like, we had been there the night before. It was the weirdest fucking thing. And he didn't come over and say hello or nothing. He was, "Hey, guys, what's going on?" And then went back to drinking his beer or drinking his drink.
His Jack and Coke. You know, there he went.
As far as he was concerned, we were there 6 hours before that.
Yeah.
Most amazing thing.
Okay. Now, what was – hey, Brian, tell me about the dog. Y'all had the dog that used to date the raw egg. What kind of dog was that? Do you remember that?
Besides dead.
Yeah, well, it was 30 years ago. If that dog's still alive.
Mojo?
Huh?
Mojo?
Was it Mojo? I don't know.
I think it was Mojo.
You used to give it a raw egg, and you said it was good for the fur.
It was cool. Yeah.
Now, who's –
he would eat anything. So it wasn't just a raw egg. He would just eat anything.
What kind of dog was it?
True, he would lick it.
Just a mutt.
Did y'all, like, find it on the street? Did you go rescue a puppy? Well, I mean, I don't know if rescue was big back then.
Sure.
I have no idea. Yeah, it just showed up one day. It came in with the Cheddar's crowd and just stayed.
You don't know. It was just there. We moved in. Somebody else's dog. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, well, that's right. We did live there. I guess we should have known, too. We had to take care of the dog also. We had some interesting parties there that they were pretty wild. I can remember a few girls, and I won't name them, that came over, and we played a big game of strip poker.
Tracy Bridges.
Sorry. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't look, though. We were very gentlemanly. We just would go like
this. I saw lots of boobies at Brian's house.
John never lit farts or anything there either.
Never.
Well, sometimes.
You know who did? You know who did? Tracy Bridges.
Tracy Bridges.
There were several times that Tracy lit John's farts. That's true.
Yeah.
Hold my beer.
Yep.
My favorite and fondest memory of the Happy House is I think we were stuck there during the ice storm, and John or Brian and I were laughing about this earlier today. I decided I needed to take an inverted bong hit. So I flipped myself upside down on the couch, and while I'm doing it, I don't remember who it was. They're like, it may have been Ron Myers. They're like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Inverted bong hit." He's like, "Why?" I'm like, "Why not? We've been here for a week. I'm a little bored. We need to do something different.
We need to change it up."
We did change it up.
You know, though, after we discovered the Happy House ended up being the place for 4th of July, ended up being the place for Labor Day, for Memorial Day. I mean, we ended up at the Happy House because there was no curfew, and, you know, there was
it was happy.
It was very happy. Yes, it was happy.
Guys, Tracy just mentioned all the spades you used to play there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Strip spades.
Strip spades. That was a long game, but good payoff.
Well, we just cheated, and she always lost.
Yeah. I remember that was Tracy and I were very close, and that was one of the biggest arguments we ever got in, was her and I were partners.
Spades.
Yep. And we were playing against Greg Fights and whoever his partner was. And Greg.
Who was that guy he dated?
I don't remember. Which one?
Was it Michael Kenney?
Oh, my God.
Get in line. I got to tell that story in just a second. That was freaking hilarious. Greg is there, and I forget who he's there with. I think it was a girl he was dating, and Tracy was there, and she was my spades partner. We played all the time. We played fantastic together. So I think we caught Greg cheating, and she was so mad because it was just a friendly game. She's like, "I can't believe you're cheating at a friendly game." And so I'm trying to support her, and I stand up. I'm like, "I can't believe you're cheating." And when I stand up, the cards fell out from under my leg. I've been cheating too, and Greg goes, "Now you know why."
Okay, what was the Michael Kenney story? Now, I no one knows that I was actually Michael Kenney's roommate. Me, him, and a guy named Brian. I can't remember Brian's name. It can't. It, at the time, it was Cam Bridger's boyfriend. I don't remember his name.
Yeah. You guys refer to him as roommates back then. Nowadays, they just call them husbands. It's okay. We're all out.
We moved out to Red Oak. Remember where Red Oak had they had
of your lifestyle.
Do what?
They were more accepting of your lifestyle, so you went to Red Oak.
Yeah, right? Out in Red Oak. That's right. Yeah. But I remember, do y'all remember Michael Kenney pouting because they were going to go to the, so Michael Kenney, by the way, guys, passed away for the, he did die of AIDS. He was gay. Really funny guy though. If y'all remember, he's just an absolute, just a funny guy. And Mike wanted to go, I guess I forget what holiday it is. I think it's Halloween. They do such a big thing in down in the gay part of town. They would do a big parade or whatever. And he came dressed as a mermaid. Do y'all remember? Do y'all remember them? And they didn't end up going, and he pouted the whole night. He was drunk, and people would walk in that house. And I mean, he had done the makeup up, everything. And you just, the story wasn't Mike. The story was watching the people come in the house that would walk over, and then you would see him grab a beer and go.
We picked up green sequins for months.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he ended up sleeping there that night, I think, and he just like
costume.
Yeah, it was a costume, a full costume.
He slept in the costume.
What?
He slept in it.
Yes, no, that's what I meant. He passed out in the costume on the couch, and I think the only thing he was missing was his wig. He had this long gold wig. He had taken it off, and he was like,
yeah.
John, do you remember it was me, you, Tracy Bridges, Tracy Atori, and Mike Kenney, and we were going to the Madonna concert. Do you remember this?
I have never gone to a Madonna concert in my life.
Maybe you weren't there that night, so it was.
I'm going to guess I wasn't.
Well, I know for sure it was me, Mike Kenney, Tracy Bridges, and Tracy Atori, and they'll probably chime in here in a few minutes and tell us we're wrong. But I remember those two girls specifically, and Michael Kenney. And John, I could swear it was you, but maybe it wasn't. But at any rate, so we're getting ready to go to this Madonna concert. I nice, Brian.
Like a virgin.
No desire to go to a Madonna concert. I wanted to go, and the girls wanted to go. I'm like, okay, so we'll go. It's good.
You had a different angle.
Yeah, so Michael says, well, if we're going to the Madonna concert, I at least get to do your hair. He's talking to me. All right. So, and I could swear it was you, but I'm sure the Tracys will straighten me out here in a few minutes.
You have never let me do your hair.
So, so Michael goes to do our hair. I think we were at Tracy Torrey's apartment or her house or something. And we're drinking and partying and having a great time. And Michael's doing our hair and he won't let us look, right? So we can't see in the mirror. He's doing it. Now, I don't know if you remember Michael's hairdo, but he had like an exaggerated Fonzie pompadour haircut. Like it was Rick Astley, you know, like stuck out there and you know, pompadoured in the back. So Michael does all of our hair. We all looked exactly like Michael Kenney. Like we all, every goddamn one of us had this pompadour haircut. He had fashioned it and we all looked exactly like him. And that's how we went to the concert that night. It was the Blonde Ambition tour. I will never forget it. It was an amazing concert, by the way. So I pick on Madonna, but it was actually a badass concert. She was awesome.
Okay, a little Michael Kenney trivia. Do you remember what his dream job was that he never got?
Fluffer on a porn set.
Well, he did that for free, but that wasn't.
Following traffic cones.
Do y'all really not remember?
No.
He wanted to be a flight attendant so bad. That was his.
How did that escape him?
Oh. What?
He was too tall or something, wasn't he?
No, he just, you remember there was a guy, there was another, look, we had a couple of guys that were gay that worked there. One of them's name was Dane. I just remember his name is Dane. I don't remember his last name. Him and Mike were best friends. Like they grew up together, were best friends. Dane got a job at American Airlines. And for some reason, Mike didn't get hired. But, man, all he talked about, he was trying all the time. He wanted to be a flight attendant. I was his roommate, so I knew. And he.
What did Steve end up doing?
Steve Taft. You know, Steve, I ran into Steve. I didn't run into him. He's on Facebook. He is, like, does something with art or, like, an art gallery or something to that effect. He's in downtown Dallas. I'd love to go down and see him. Steve, he had that. He had the kind of second happy. It wasn't as fun as yours, but his parents had built this house in Lancaster that was like way out in the country. Do y'all remember that? And we would go out there and hang out, and it was like a cabin or something like that.
Badass.
Oh yeah, and so, but no, I know that Steve he does something like that every once in a while. He'll like something or comment. He doesn't get on there a whole lot, but no, that's what Mike wanted to do. I remember that a lot. And then I remember hearing that Mike had passed away. I was so sad to hear that. He was so funny.
Yeah. John, do you remember going with Michael Kenny on, I think it was Halloween, and we had played softball that night, and it was his birthday.
Yes.
Birthday. And he talked like he was so disappointed because he hadn't gotten to go out. And so you and
the whole team,
pretty sure it was Tracy Atori was with us and several of the girls.
It was the whole team. Jimmy Hare was there. We went to the gay bars.
Let's go. And he's like, really? You'll go anywhere I want to go? And we're like, yeah. So we all ended up at Throckmorton's down in a gay bar, Lemon Avenue. I mean, it was the gay bar at the time. And I'm pretty sure it was John and I, but two of us, I know for sure, one of which was me, on top of a pool table, on top of a piece of plywood, dancing.
It wasn't me. I think that was you. But Jimmy Hare was there because Jimmy and Rhonda went.
Bucks that night. Like, they had strippers there on this night. And we were all drinking. And we convinced the strippers to let us get up there. And we're in softball shorts. And, I mean, just machismo, ridiculous, redneck bullshit.
We're filthy dirty, too.
Okay, so we're up there and having a great. I made $50 in tips that night. I will never forget. It was the best I've ever done in my life.
What I remember Jimmy doing. So Jimmy and I were sitting right by the front door, and we had a drink. We're just drinking a drink, sitting up there, and Jimmy had gotten a little tipsy, and Rhonda was there too. I know that Rhonda had gone too, but we were playing on that Cheddar softball team. Yep. Is what we were doing, and we all end up going there that night. And Jimmy was sitting there, and him and I were just shooting the bull, just drinking, having fun. And every time a guy would walk in, Jimmy would pat him on the butt, and they would turn around and look at us, and he would just crack up laughing because they always looked at me. And he was just having a blast and just doing that. And I was like, would you cut it out? I mean, but I'll never. And Steve Taft used to love it when he would drag us down there every once in a while. And Steve would do that. He would. I think for him, it was like going to a mall or Walmart and just watching people. He just liked to watch it.
The drinks were insane. Like, it was like nickel drink night. And
oh, yeah.
Down there, it was totally ridiculous. Like, you just got hammered for $1.85. I mean, it was just insane.
Yep.
There's a lot of bars like there that back then. It's like coin night, any coin night.
Was it Graham's? Is that the place that used to do coin night?
Yep.
Yeah, any drink behind the bar for any coin in your pocket?
Yep.
Chelsea Street Pub and the Roxy. Remember the Roxy?
Yeah. I remember going to Graham's. That was over in Arlington.
Yeah.
I remember going to Graham's to see this new guy that had one song out. His name was Garth Brooks. And he had one song.
Wow.
That was it. And it wasn't Low Places. That was after he'd gotten big. I mean, his first song, I forget what it was, but he played it like four times.
Well, what's interesting, and I don't know if a lot of people remember this, you know who his lead guitarist was at that time?
Who?
Trisha Yearwood.
No. Trisha Yearwood came – No. You're misunderstanding. He had – his lead guitarist was a – do what?
Hey, it's a great story. Just leave it alone.
Really? Trisha Yearwood?
Why don't you tell us about Santa Claus now, John?
But so, okay, now, all right, Brian, we got to get back to you, though. You got to tell us, now, did John, now, Dave ended up working with us over at Cheddar's. John and Mark, how much grief did they give y'all?
Well, I mean, you could tell sometimes when we were there partying until 3 or 4 in the morning, and Mark would wake up. He had diabetes. So
I remember that.
But he would wake up, and there would be, I don't know, 10 of us in the kitchen. He would walk in his underwear, tidy whities, and he would need like sugar because he was like going into a reaction. But he didn't care. He just walked into the kitchen. I remember one night, he comes in, he gets a glass of water, and he pours a bunch of sugar in it, and he stirs it up, kind of looks around everybody like he didn't really care. He's in a tiny light, right? He slams the sugar and just looks around and shakes his head and just walks back and goes to bed. I mean, that's the way they kind of, and John got pissed off because he would have to get up 3 in the morning. He would get up sometimes while we were there.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it was, I felt sorry for him. I mean, and Matt was the same way. He had a regular job and we just didn't even care about him, and it was bad. We were young, you know, we didn't have much scruples, so it's understandable. But we had a mixed bag of personalities there that we're all friends today. I mean, they're some of my best friends.
Well, and I remember Mark. I remember Mark would come down. I remember every once in a while he'd have to take his blood sugar and do that. But I usually thought at 3 in the morning when he came down, he was just checking his jeans that were on the box fan dryer.
And he heard the buzzer go off.
Yeah, he thought he heard the buzzer.
You guys not turn these over?
Hang on, I need to fluff them.
Put it on 3.
Yeah. Oh, that was the greatest. Oh. And then I remember laughing at it, and then I ended up doing it. Oh, look at Brian got there. He's got the Cheddar's. Remember the little seated Cheddar's? That was the little Pac-Man there in the bar.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we got to have a couple more stories before we wind this thing down. I remember. So let me ask you this. What are Mark and John and Dave doing now?
Well, Dave has been working for FEMA in some sort, it's all top secret stuff, but he's been working for that for a while. He ends up going out of town and for quite some time. It depends on where the disasters are, but he's worked a lot of hurricanes, worked a lot of fires, worked a lot of situations where FEMA's necessary. And I don't know exactly what he does, but I think he works a lot with the funding and everything. John is still a truck driver. He works for Boise Cascade. He actually lives out at Cedar Creek. He has a house out there with his wife and his daughter. And Mark still lives in Allen. He's lived in Allen for 20 plus years. And guess what? Still works at the same hospital.
Methodist.
Yes. He's been there for 35, 40 years now.
Yeah, what does he do there? I mean, at one time he worked in like shipping or something.
Transportation. He's transportation. He coordinates all of the transportation, like blood and you know, whatever needs mail or whatever needs to be transported between the hospitals, because they have like Charlton and Southwest, yep. You know, Methodist and all that. I mean, they're growing so fast because they're nonprofit, so they have to spend their money and build a bunch of hospitals. But yeah, they're doing well. I mean, they're hanging in there.
Man.
Matt worked for AMX and JBL for a while, close to 25 years. And he was on an unfortunate layoff recently. So he's looking for a new opportunity, and he'll be just fine. He lives out in Wiley with his daughter, Avery. They're hanging in there.
John and Anatsi, I just don't remember Matt. I remember John and Mark for sure, and I'd love to see those guys again. That would be great. Mark, I saw when Reber was singing. God, he could sing. Man, he's got a great voice. You too, by the way. Weren't y'all all like in band together or something?
No, me and Dave were, and John back at Duncanville.
Right, that's what I meant. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but Mark never was in band.
No, okay, so he wasn't. But y'all were all like in high school together.
John came in our sophomore year, and Mark was at Duncanville for his senior or for his freshman year, and then moved to Lancaster. And Dave graduated 81 or 82, I believe. So, yeah, he stayed the entire stint at Duncanville.
So Dave was a year older then.
Yeah.
And then was John your age?
Yes.
And
yes.
Mark was too.
Mark's 1 year younger.
But Mark, y'all kept in touch, I guess. He moved over to Lancaster, and y'all just kept in touch, or?
Oh yeah, we continued on after that because he lived with his brother for a while in Lancaster. That's when he moved back to Duncanville, and we all lived together at the Happy House and Long Canyon and another house. I think I can't remember the last year we lived together, but it was right before I moved to Colorado.
So y'all had moved over to Long Canyon.
92? You remember that, Jason? 92?
When I abandoned you in Colorado?
Yeah.
It was 92.
Yeah. That's another story altogether.
Hey, how long were you up in Colorado?
I was up there 4 years.
Okay. I remember when you came back and you lived over in an apartment kind of over near, there in Dallas, right off of Cockrell Hill and kind of Cockrell Hill and what is that? Camp Wisdom?
That was actually Duncanville. That's actually, I lived on Camp Wisdom, then I lived with John again at Center Ridge. Center.
Okay. So let me ask you about your wife. So how long have y'all been married?
We've been married for 5 years, and we've known each other since college. You know, we dated for a little while back in '83. And then we moved apart, and then we found each other on Facebook. As a matter of fact, after I was married for 10 years, and I had two girls. I got a divorce, and about a year after I got a divorce, she found me on Facebook, and we haven't left each other's side since. She's just my best friend.
Well, you got to question, you know, her mental stability to look at you and think.
Well, look at that.
Dude, I've seen pictures. I've met her. She's way too hot for you. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Way too hot for you.
And
I got to tell you, and I don't know that I've ever said this to her before, but I'm going to say it to you. Probably, and I mean this in all sincerity, the most mesmerizing eyes I think I've ever seen. Like, had this nice, like, wet, very deep look to them. And every time I've seen a picture, I'm like, God almighty, she's beautiful.
I never get past her boobs. I'm kidding. Yes, she is. She's gorgeous. I mean, she's very, very pretty. And so I'm
back to Cheddar's.
Yeah. Do what now?
Cheddar's. Remember we all met there.
We did the reunion, Jade. Now that was the time I think that you were thinking in the top of your head when I picked you up at the airport.
Might have been.
And then we ended up that night. And Jay and I were smart enough. He came to my house. I live here in Richardson. And so we're close. Brian, I'm in Richardson. You're over in Wiley. I go to Wiley a lot, but almost bought a house in Wiley. My wife and I bid on a house years ago. It's probably been 15, 16 years ago, and almost bought a house in Wiley and didn't get it and stayed in Richardson now. Now we bought a bigger house. But Jay came over and we decided to do this, and everybody was going to meet, and you were there that night, and your wife was there, and everybody was there. Yeah. And Jay got the great idea. He goes, "Should we Uber?" And I meant, you know what? That's probably not a bad idea. And it was the best round trip, probably $70 we spent.
Yep.
I mean, I'm telling you, because we drank a lot that night.
We spent twice that at the bar.
Huh?
We spent twice that at the bar.
Yeah, but just the peace of mind in Uber. My wife was very pleased that we did. We'll have to get Kathy. Kathy would love you guys. You would love her. She is just so much fun to come and hang out with you guys. But we need to do a Cheddar show. And we need to get all the Cheddars. I've run into Ron Meyer. Ron Meyer owns a construction company. Hey, guys, completely sober. Been sober for 15 years, something like that. Very Christian guy. I mean, just fantastic. He's doing fantastic. Huh?
I'm out.
but do what?
Remember his brother, Randy?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, too. Yeah. Yeah. And Randy... Do what now?
Playing a little bit of guitar, from what I understand. He played a lot. Remember, he used to shred a lot.
Yeah, left-handed.
Yeah, that was weird watching left-handed.
But we get Ron. We could probably get Steve Taff. We could get Rhonda, and Jimmy would come with Rhonda to hang out. But get all of us, and maybe not Cheddar's. Cheddar's kind of wasn't prepared for us that night. Remember, they were they kind of were like, "What are y'all trying to do?" We tried to make them. Hey, we were here when this thing opened.
Cheddar's wasn't prepared for us when we worked there.
Hey, Brian, so when I got married, my wife's from Illinois, and she's from Peoria, Illinois. And Jason was in my wedding, and we were up in Peoria. Remember where we ate the day of my wedding?
Cheddar's.
Cheddar's. There was a Cheddar's in Peoria, Illinois. And I remember talking to the waitress. We were supposed to be – we were going to leave there. My family, Jay, it was you, me, and my mother and stepdad, and my grandparents were there. And we were going to – and Gary and Sil were there. And we were going to leave there, go back to the hotel. We had to get ready to go to the wedding. And I remember our waitress came up and you know, started waiting. And my mother said something about me working there. She goes, oh, you worked at Cheddar's? I said, I worked at the second Cheddar's there ever was. And she goes, what? And I go, what? She goes, where was that? And I go, it was in DeSoto, Texas, because the third one was Plano.
Look at that. Established in 78.
In 1978. I remember going to the Cheddar's, and that's not there anymore. The original one was right by Six Flags.
Right.
And that's gone. They've shut that thing down. But the Plano one is gone, too. My wife and I ended up eating at the Plano one when it was up here. They've shut that down. It's a bank now. Yeah. But the oldest Cheddar's in America is that one down there in DeSoto. It's still there.
Wow.
Crazy, crazy. We'll have to do a Cheddar's night. Guys, let's start whopping this thing down. We've been in here over an hour. I mean, you keep telling we're going to do 30 or 40 minutes, and you end up doing an hour of this fun stuff. Brian, it's been so fun having you on, man. I really appreciate it. We've got to do the Cheddar's one again and get some more people on here. So thanks a lot for coming on, bud.
I appreciate you guys. Love you very much.
Love you too, bud. We miss you. Jay, tell us anything special coming up on The World According to Me.
Called me as soon as I started that thing, and he goes, hey, what's this new thing you got going, like all the shit that you like or whatever that is? Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's political, and it's, you know, controversial, and it'll make you think and make you mad depending upon which side of the aisle you're on, but it's a lot of fun to listen to, and I think we've migrated a lot of people over, but nothing really special coming up with that. But I do want to say to Brian, I've been waiting to have this guy. I mean, we have been twins separated at birth since the time that I met this guy. We had the exact same sense of humor. We love the same movies and the same jokes and that type of stuff, except that he plays an instrument and I'm really good looking. But outside of that, we are identical twins.
What am I?
That's the botanist platter, by the way. In the and a bowl of cheese in the middle with a little bit of gallo. It's fresh, by the way. We make it every day, and guacamole to the left.
You know what? Hey, I do remember the happy house that ended up. I'm sorry, I revert back.
All right.
The year before the Cowboys went to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. We went to somebody's timeshare, like in somewhere. Remember, Brian? We all went down to watch the playoff game. Where was that?
I think it was at the lake, wasn't it?
Somebody had a timeshare, and we all went and stayed at this condo townhome by a lake.
That was a playoff game. Was it a playoff game or a Super Bowl?
It was the game that Troy Aikman, first year they made the playoffs, and former Duncanville alum Ray Crockett intercepted the pass and took it.
Can I tell this story real quick?
Duet?
I'll never forgive him for that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was bartending at Tia's.
Yes.
He walked in. It was the bar was empty, and he walked in, and I said, walk your ass out of here. Oh, man, it's just football. Yeah, because he stopped at the goal line and held the ball out. And I'm like, son of a bitch. He said, come on, man, it's just football.
Hey, well, Jason can tell you, too. Ray Crockett lit my MFing ass up in practice, because I would play – do what?
That means motherfucker. Just no closed caption.
Yeah. But we were in practice, and I was playing wide receiver, and he was playing defensive back, and I would run a slant pattern that Coach Gandy would call, and Ray was so much more talented than I was, and just barely. He ran about a 4.440, and I ran about a 4.420.
You were playing wide receiver. Ray was playing Navy SEAL.
Yes.
That's the problem. You guys were playing two totally different games.
And Jason would throw the ball up high, and Ray would make sure that and plant his chest right. I mean, his head right in the middle of my chest. He would always help me up because I gave him rides home.
Yeah, all billionaires rode home with us.
Yeah, Keaton Smiley did.
Ray, all those guys. We
did. Oh yeah, Barry did too. I used to take Barry home too. Yeah. So, all right. Anyway, but I'll never forget that trip. I forget where we went, Brian, but it was so bad. I remember we just got trashed because we thought they were going to the Super Bowl and they got beat.
Oh, it was bad.
You know, that's the last time that the Detroit Lions have won a playoff game.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. See, they fired their GM.
Fucking Ray Crockett.
What?
Fucking Ray Crockett.
Oh, Ray, I've seen Ray a few times. His kid, he lives in South Lake. His kids played for South Lake, and I went to a playoff game, and Ray and I sat and talked for a little bit. And we've talked a couple times, too. He owns a restaurant in downtown Dallas. It's a Japanese restaurant that
– he's still married to April?
No, I don't think they are. They might be, but I'm pretty sure that they did divorce. But it was within the last 5 or 10 years. They're still very close, and they have all the kids and grandkids now together. But I think that they have. I think they have split up. But she still goes by Crockett.
John, wrap this thing up because I'm gonna need a nap if we go too much longer.
Okay, so we're on week two of the Happy House. And we've got 6 more weeks to go.
Jason needs another inverted bong head.
Yeah. Yes. All right, guys, that's it. We're going to wind this thing down. Brian, again, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming on. Jay, got one thing to say before we go, and what is it?
Deuces, baby.
Deuces, baby. Guys, we'll see you next time. Thanks a lot.
Peace.
Once again, Jason and John would like to thank you for listening to Two Farts in a Can. In this episode, Into the Woods, we'd like to remind you that at the Happy House, there was nudity, but it was tasteful, and it was, who am I kidding? Just a bunch of nudity around there. Peace.